because it enabled people to move soils, to fell trees with much greater ease than had been in the case in earlier times. And as we said in the last lecture, rice cultivation really took hold and expanded in the hot and humid Ganges River Valley of the East. So effective was the new agriculture, so productive, that within 2 centuries, only 200 years, 16 major kingdoms were centered on cities in the Ganges Plain. This cannot have been a particularly calm period of Indian history. There was fast economic growth, and there was also, presumably, a great deal of intercity conflict. And we know there was certainly major religious controversy. On one side of the controversy was Brahmanism, a form of Hinduism which placed great emphasis on ritual and sacrifice. This, at first, was the dominant religion. But then philosophers of the 6th century BC, like Buddha and Makali Gosada, challenged Brahmanism with revolutionary doctrines which militated against sacrifice. Buddhism, with its teachings of personal sacrifice, personal spiritual development, spread rapidly, becoming the dominant religion in the north within 5 centuries. But at the same time, India had become a happy hunting ground for foreign conquerors who were eyeing the fabled riches of South Asia. For example, in 516 BC, King Darius of Persia invaded the northwest and incorporated the Indus Valley briefly into his vast Persian Empire. 2 centuries later, Alexander the Great brought Greek culture as far as the Indus. But his death at an early age brought a major political vacuum in its train. The great ruler in the Ganges, Chandragupta Maurya of Magadha, took advantage of the political turmoil and carved out a huge empire, the Mauryan Empire, in the 3rd century BC. At its height, under the rulership of Chandragupta's grandson, Asoka, the Mauryan Empire extended over a staggeringly large tract of country. From Nepal in the north and deep into India's Deccan in the south. Now, between 269 and 232 BC, Asoka sought to diversify and unify his kingdom at the same time, accommodating the diversity while unifying the kingdom with a well-defined moral and ethical code based on Buddhist principles. Now, he built this empire, this Mauryan empire, not only on Buddhist philosophies, but also on a teaching which was to have a major, major impact on the future course of history in Southeast Asia. The notion that the prosperity of Buddhism was closely connected to the dealings of prosperous merchants. In other words, it was quite okay to look outside the confines of your own land, your own home city, and to trade with others, even people of other religions, at a distance. As a result of this wise policy, Magadha and other northern Mauryan cities prospered greatly from trade with northwestern lands, with Afghanistan, Iran, and beyond. At the other end of the empire, the port of Tamluk, at the mouth of the Ganges River, was a window to a new and expanding world across the Bay of Bengal to Southeast Asia. Now, the older religion, Brahmanism, had placed severe restrictions on foreign voyages.